Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the 100-year-old City Hall for tonight's regularly scheduled City Council meeting. A warm welcome back to Alderman Vogelsberg.
Oh, thank you.
Who was enjoying some much-deserved R&R in Peru, right? Was that right?
I wish, yeah.
That was the word.
I misunderstood. I apologize for the red face. We were at the golf outing today for the Geneva Chamber of Commerce. And let me just say that playing with Alderman Maladra and Flanagan, where is Alderman Flanagan? She's not going to make it. Apparently, she's still looking for her ball on hole 7. And Alderman Hill was quite the experience. These guys are awesome golfers, awesome golfers. The meeting is called to order. I kindly ask our city clerk to take the roll call.
Chuck Brown.
Here.
Don Cummings.
Here.
Ralph Dantino.
Here.
Dorothy Flanagan. Sam Hill.
Here.
Dean Kilberg.
Here.
Greg Maladra.
Here.
Richard Marks.
Here.
Ron Singer.
Here.
Don Vogelsberg.
Here.
Firefighter Dan Maluto.
Here.
Would you kindly lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir. Sarah's arrived. Life is good. Is that Sarah to your right? She's in the back. Oh, God. Jeez. Sorry. Well, come on up, Dan.
To the microphone.
We want to do this first, don't we, Chief?
Yes, sir.
Up to the podium, handsome. So you are soon to be our newest firefighter.
Yes, sir.
That is exciting. Now, I've got a little biography on you. Do you mind if I share with the audience?
Go ahead.
And for your benefit, Dan, the cameras are located right here. And there's one behind you as well. This is being broadcast live. And it will be rebroadcast 4 times a day throughout the week. If you need anything edited, let us know.
Understood.
And it's on the World Wide Web as well. So traditionally, firefighters from across the country tune in just to see what kind of people we hire. Is that a clip on?
No.
Okay. Dan, oh, go ahead, Mr. Dancy. Mine is. Mr. Maluto graduated from the University of Illinois, Sam.
Hey, great. Go on.
Sam actually cut the ribbon on the university. You played football there, didn't you, Sam?
1 year.
Isn't that amazing? 1 year. What position?
Center.
Well, seriously? What year?
Oh,
hey, the hell with you, Dan. This is more interesting.
Freshmen were not eligible to play, but I was on the team. And
that's cool.
That's when I graduated. 54. Fall of 54 and spring of 55.
That's pretty cool.
Thank you.
You graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Community Health.
Yes.
You've been with the Plainfield Fire Protection District since 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what I find fascinating, this next little tidbit. He married his fiancée, Sarah, who's with us this evening, just last week.
Yes.
Wow.
That is a non sequitur, because you married your wife, right? Mm-hmm. They came back from their honeymoon to be with us this evening. That's not true, really. You just timed it. Where did you honeymoon?
Montego Bay, Jamaica.
Whoa, good living, man. What the hell do we pay these for? Man, you are a I should say, do you mind if I call you Dan?
No, absolutely. That's
Dan cool. is a certified firefighter, paramedic, and holds additional certificates in hazardous materials, vehicle and machinery extraction, and emergency vehicle operations. We could have used him in a golf course for all the extractions. And you make your home, you and Sarah, make your home in Yorkville.
Yes.
Wow. That's pretty cool, man. And where did you go to high school?
Neuqua Valley in Naperville.
Yeah, Neuqua. Life is good, man. And Sarah as well?
No, she went to school in West Chicago.
Okay. And how did you two meet?
Through a mutual friend that I knew growing up. And she
Is that the internet? With. Is that what we're calling
no.
it?
No, I did not.
Right. Sarah said you were blocked for 6 months. Kept emailing.
What can I say? I have some tenacity.
That's very exciting. So you were married just... Where was the big wedding? Where was the wedding?
The wedding itself was in Winfield, and the reception was at Abington Banquets in Glen
Ellyn. Oh, sure, yeah. That's fantastic. Did you exceed the maximum capacity at the reception?
No.
No? That would have been awkward, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
As a firefighter. Wow. So what else can you tell us about yourself? Why firefighting?
Well, growing up,
Is this going to be long?
No. Okay. So growing up, as a little kid, I liked all the public service stuff, you know, firefighter, cop,
yeah,
police officer, all that kind of stuff. And when I got into high school, I kind of realized I was looking into doing it, but I didn't know if I wanted to do it full time, whatever. And then I took my first college level math class, and I was like, no.
No way.
And I got involved with some volunteer organizations in college and started as a volunteer firefighter there and
really
took off from there.
So you were volunteering down in Champaign?
Yes.
No kidding. And how does that work when you're a college student? You just...
Yeah, it depended on what I was doing in class.
Okay.
And
which wasn't math class, apparently.
Obviously not, no. Yeah, if it was, you know, just class or lecture or something like that, I'd probably go. And if it was...
How's
something
that going
like
for you, Sam? If it was lecture, he'd just blow it off and go to the firehouse.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It wasn't a very busy fire department.
That's pretty cool. And Sarah, do you mind me asking, what do you do?
I'm a teacher.
Oh, where?
In Richardson Park.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Wow, life is good. And I suspect there's other family and friends here tonight.
Yes.
Would you like to introduce your fan club?
Sure. All right, so we have my mom and dad.
Yay, mom and dad.
Mr. and Mrs. Melinda. And my wife, Sarah. Her.
Did you say she was weird?
No, she said that.
Oh, she said that. Okay.
Her best friend, Jill, who is one of the maids of honor at our wedding.
Ah, this is part of the gig. You get to come to this thing, too? That's a gig, man.
My now mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Well played.
My now sister-in-law, mm-hmm, who is also a maid of honor at the wedding.
Wow.
And then her boyfriend.
Fantastic. Well, we're glad you're all here. And tonight, following the swearing-in, there's dinner, right?
Yes.
Where?
I don't know yet.
Great answer.
Sarah, where's dinner going to be?
I think it's a Mexican place across the street.
Oh, that's a very good place. They have beautiful outside seating, too. Yeah, keep it down.
I have some coupons for Subway.
I'm sure you do.
Save that for your anniversary, Ron.
Save that for your 60th, Ron. That'll be exciting. Dad, are you a firefighter as well? No?
No. He did forget to mention the video we got with him when he was 6 years old.
That was a heavy sigh.
Now the mayor really wants to know.
Actually, we have it. Let me tell you. What's that entail?
His youngest sister was born at home. So one of my wife's sisters had Danny out on the front lawn, and he had a hose. He had his little boots on, his raincoat and stuff, his fireman on.
God, this is humiliating.
There
was actually a fire?
No.
Oh.
But, you know, to him it was. He put it out and stuff. And he then proceeded to play the role of media director and explain to my sister-in-law what actually happened in the vehicle. I just do have one question, though, and you know what it is,
no,
right?
You should not say anything.
No.
At that age, everything was caused by dynamite.
Oh, really?
Fires were caused by dynamite.
It's a hell of a selection, Chief. You gotta go ahead.
I hate to tell you that. Yeah.
Wile E. Coyote, you hired. Also, a lot of lead-based paint in your house growing up.
I don't know. Was there a fire board?
Oh, and you've got a huge fan club behind you from the department.
Yes.
Now, was
and they're laughing the hardest at your story. I feel so sorry for
yeah.
you.
Today the first day you met Lieutenant?
Yes.
Lieutenant?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? And Deputy Chief Einwick?
Mm-hmm.
No, today's the first day you met him?
Yeah.
Wow.
I had only met with Chief Olson and Chief Spencer before then.
Okay. Yeah, Chief Spencer, he's out of here. Yeah, after 30-some-odd years. Well, that's cool. We have our clerk, Mr. Landberg, who will be doing the honors of swearing you in.
Okay.
And if you would like anyone to join you while you take the oath, obviously, please welcome them to your side.
seemed to, yeah.
And please, moms and dads and in-laws, enjoy yourself. The room is yours. Take all the pictures you like.
It's just like the wedding.
Yeah, keep smiling.
This doesn't cost as much, though.
That's true.
Raise your right hand, repeat after me. I, Dan Deluna, do solemnly swear and affirm, I've been appointed to the office of firefighter, the city of Geneva, county of Kane, aforesaid,
Do solemnely swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the State of Illinois.
The Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And I will faithfully discharge the duties.
And I will faithfully discharge the duties.
Of the office of firefighter.
The office of firefighter.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Okay, go. Time is money, Dan. So what shift, gold or red?
Red.
Red, is that good? Yeah? So you're going to head over across the street, though, for dinner, are you really? Sarah, is that, you think this plan?
Not really.
Okay, cool. I'll be over there shortly after the meeting.
More than
Dan, congratulations. And Mom and Dad, congratulations as well.
Thank you.
We're very proud. We're honored to welcome Dan on board. And I can assure you he's in very good hands. He joins a long line of not only respected, but extraordinarily professional firefighters. So we're glad that you're part of Geneva's team. Okay. I'm going to cry. Now you can go.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for oh, you're welcome.
That empties it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do have the honor of a fire department presentation this evening. It's our pleasure to welcome to the podium our chief. Chief is passing the buck.
Oh.
Now, for those of us watching from home, please introduce yourself.
My name is Rod Johnson.
You're going to give the whole presentation?
Yep.
This is awesome, man.
Well, the first half.
The first half.
Chief's going to take over after that.
Firefighter Johnson. The floor is yours, sir.
How do we proceed this, sir?
Oh, I see you coached him well, Chief. Nice job there.
Ah, there it is. We got to start at the very beginning so we can see it.
Okay.
We're just going to talk briefly about the life safety education of the Geneva Fire Department, and the Chief is going to present some department status. In 2011, just some stuff that we provided for the citizens of Geneva. We did life safety education for the children. That was in the schools and throughout the city. We do Camp Risk Watch, CPR AED first aid training. We do fire station tours, home fire safety inspections, and plenty of special events. We'll talk about each of these a little bit in depth. Life safety education for the children, we do Fire Prevention Week in October. We've hit 6 schools in the city of Geneva, 4 public schools, and 2 private schools. That does not include the schools in Mill Creek, as they're covered by the Elburn Fire Protection District. We spent 10 days in the schools with 2 or 3 people. We educated 87 adults and 1,148 children throughout kindergarten, first, second, and third grade. So Fire Prevention Week is a great week. It's a national week, and the kids enjoy it. We bring a fire truck to the school. We have firefighters that are in individual classes with the kids, and they really enjoy it. So moving on, Camp Risk Watch. We do every summer in July, we do Risk Watch Camp. This is put on by the fire department and the police department as a joint effort. Last year we did 3 sessions. They're 2 hours a day for a week. So we bring the kids into the firehouse for 2 hours, and we teach them many different things: electrical safety, fire safety, stranger danger, poisoning and stuff like that. There's all sorts of different things. We bring a school bus in with the school district. We teach them about car safety, water safety. We take them down to the splash park. So we go through all sorts of different safety for kids. This is children going into second grade in the city of Geneva. Last year we had 62 students total that went through Risk Watch. And this year we've actually added a fourth session, and we've got over 75 children signed up already for this summer camp. CPR, AED, and first aid training. Last year we did 15 classes that were held either at Station 1 or off-site and taught to 88 students. That number for this year has gone up dramatically because of our work with Public Works. We trained all the employees of Public Works in CPR and first aid this year. And I don't know the exact number of classes. I think there were 6 or 8 classes. So we've taught quite a few more people this year already. Fire station tours. We actually only had 12 scheduled tours last year, which seems like a very small number. We had 56 adults, 161 children that stopped in. This doesn't include at any given time people stop into the firehouse and want to check out the fire truck. It happens on an almost daily basis. People are always stopping in, so those numbers aren't in here, but the public is always stopping into the firehouse to see what we do. And the couple pictures there are showing us dressing in our gear and showing the kids stop, drop, and roll. They like to practice stop, drop, and roll with us. So. Home fire safety inspections. We've started this several years ago. We do, at the request of a resident, we will go into their home. It's a non-binding inspection. We don't fine them. We can't do any fining or anything, but we'll go into this into their home and check and see if there's any fire safety or life safety hazards that they can mitigate so we don't have a fire or have any problems at their house. A couple of the big things that we do find is some storage practices and just upkeep and mechanical stuff that we do find. A lot of people don't realize some of the laws and codes with smoke detectors, CO detectors, and stuff like that. It's a good chance for us to get into the resident's house and inform them of some of the codes and laws that are out there. Lastly, some special events. We do block parties at any request. In 2011, we actually attended 12 block parties. Typically on weekends when communities have a little block party, they invite us. It's a chance for us to just meet with the kids, and actually the kids like to play with the fire truck and we get more of a chance to talk to the adults. So block parties are a lot of fun for us. We have Cub Scout tours come in at any time, stop in. Sometimes they ask us to teach a little fire safety out of their book, and we do that. So we do attend Home Depot Safety Day. They do an annual safety day that we attend and help out with. And this last year we've done some work with the schools doing fire drills. They're required to do fire drills every year, and they're actually required to have the fire department in attendance for one of them. And we've done that. We did 6 fire drills with the public and private schools this year, and they went very well. It was a learning experience for us and for them, and I believe that the schools got some good information out of it. It helped them to realize what we do when we get there, and we realize what they're doing when we're pulling up. So the fire drills was a good thing for us. A couple of upcoming initiatives that we're working on. Myself, I'm actually attending a class at the National Fire Academy in August in Emmitsburg, Maryland, called Presenting Effective Public Education Programs. And I'm hoping to get some, working with some other departments and get some other ideas that we can bring to the city of Geneva, to our residents for public education. We want to try to make that home safety home safety inspections bigger, get more people to realize that we do it and they're available to try to keep the home safe in Geneva. And we're working on developing a Remembering When program. This is a class that I went to 2 weeks ago. It's for fall and fire prevention for seniors. We want to get into the senior population in the city of Geneva and help to inform them about fall prevention and fire prevention in their homes. So that's all I have.
Any questions for Firefighter Johnson before we shift over to the chief? Just out of curiosity, if someone calls the department and, for example, says, I've either just moved, would you inspect the home I've purchased? What's the turnaround? Is it a couple days kind of thing, or is it?
Yeah, we can get in. Little story with that. We actually had a lady call 2 weeks ago, and she said, I continually burn food and my smoke detectors don't go off. Can you come check it out? So I went out myself.
That was my mother.
It could have been. I went out myself, and we have a little spray can of smoke, fake smoke. And she had two brand-new smoke detectors, and they didn't work. She had a smoke detector in the house that looked like it was 30 years old, and it worked just fine. And the two that were fairly new wouldn't. So turn around on something like that, we can get out within a couple days. Typically, we like to send one or two people. We can send an engine company if it's something quick that needs to be checked out. So, but yeah, I think the home fire safety inspections are working, and the more people that know about it, it's a good thing for us. So.
Indeed. And you must receive an extraordinary reception from the kids throughout the schools.
Oh, yeah. Kids love us. Adults usually, well, they want to be like us, but the kids love us.
Any questions or comments for the firefighter? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hello, Chief.
Good evening. I just want to bring you up to date on some of the things that we've accomplished in the last year and do this very quickly. One of the items was the purchase of a new engine to replace engine 207. This is the vehicle that's up on the screen now. This handles our vehicle extrication. It's an attack engine at the same time. We rolled the functions from two vehicles into one. And we've also had opportunity to use it. This is a picture of the accident that occurred at 25 in Dotson. And the car was wedged in between trees there, and that's the guys who were doing their extrication. And that's the vehicle there. That's the extrication side of the vehicle, so you can see the hydraulic lines come out the side, the power lines, the power supply to the hand saws that we use. We carry hand saws. And in the middle compartment there, the upper one above the wheel, that's all airbags for lifting vehicles. So all that's on one side, so it's meant to be pulled up to the vehicle. That's pointed towards the accident. It can be deployed readily right there. It eliminates a lot of running around. And then that particular patient, we flew up a helicopter, and that's what it looked like out on State Street Bridge when that happened, when we did that. Moving on to another initiative that we started a little more than a year ago, we were able to get a grant from the Factory Mutual, which is an insurance and investigation company that's hired by corporations to insure and evaluate and inspect their facilities. With the grant, we were able to purchase iPads and the software necessary to convert our paper-based inspection program into one using iPads. And so this is a typical screen that you'll see when the firefighters log in. And this is a sample here. The dots that you see up on the map are actually inspections that they have scheduled for themselves. And then down below are the actual, the individual addresses. They can click on the dot around the little balloon, I guess. When it's red, it means it's inspection that's pending. When they click on that balloon, it gives them a window which can start the inspection for that particular business. Then from there, they start gathering information about the business, contact information, things that we need at 3 o'clock in the morning, and we need to get into the building. Doesn't sound important, but we need that information a lot. And then in the next screens, there are several screens that come over, and these are items of common issues that we find in the businesses over the years. Our experience has told us if we're going to find an issue, this is it. So we've put it into the iPad, and then the inspector just clicks yes, no, or not apply. If he clicks no, they have to write in an explanation as to what the issue is. And those are all tied back to the codes that have been approved by the city council. After that, the manager or the owner of the business signs the report right on the iPad. And then this is a sample of a notice of deficiencies that's provided to the business. And what we do in this instance is we've turned our two lead engines into essentially mobile hotspots. They're Wi-Fi connections. And if we're within a block of the engine, which typically the guys are, they can email the report from the iPad to the business while they're standing there with the owner. If they don't have an email address at the business, we'll send it to the personal address. At the same time, this uploads into a cloud. When they come back to the station, we download that information. It goes into our database. That eliminates all the data entry we were doing. We do about 1,300 inspections a year. Those all had to be hand-entered into the system. It's eliminated now using the iPads. And there you can see where those red balloons are now green. That's what happens after they do the inspection. If there are violations or deficiencies are noted in the inspection, that balloon would actually be yellow. And that says, you got to come back and look at that. At the same time they do this, they assign a schedule to this for reinspection. That goes into the system. And then when they upload, when they resync this, it'll bring in the inspection when they're due to go back out again. So it gives us a better way of tracking this stuff. You get a lot of these multiple inspections, it gets pretty, it can get confusing. And finally, a year ago, we presented to you our strategic plan and our standard of cover document, which identified how we provide services to the community. And we specifically had response, what we call response performance objectives, where we stated what we wanted to accomplish for the coming year in terms of how quickly and how efficiently we get to the scene of an incident. And so this is the statement that was in, that's in the document for structure fires, and it says for 90% of all moderate high-risk structure fires, those are buildings, the total response time for the arrival of the first unit with three firefighters is 6 minutes and 30 seconds, and the unit will provide 750 gallons of water, that's in a tank in the vehicle, 1,250 gallons pumping capacity, and is capable of initiating command, requesting additional resources, advancing an attack line, establishing a flow of 150 gallons per minute, and establishing the water supply to support all that. And that's what our measure is for structural fires. For EMS, which is a big part of our business, not surprisingly, we say for 90% of all EMS responses, the total response time for the arrival of the first due unit staffed with two paramedics is 6 minutes and 30 seconds. We kept it the same because it was a fair measure of what we thought was reasonable. Within the city limits. It's capable of assessing the scene safety, size up, initial patient assessment, obtaining vitals, and medical history. Understand that the engine out at Station 2 is a paramedic staffed engine. It's an on-transport ALS unit, what we call advanced life support. The engine at Station 1 is not. It's a basic life support, non-transport vehicle, but the ambulance is quartered there. So those are the measures we had a year ago. This is where we are today. This is looking at 2011. For all of our emergency responses in the city of Geneva, we were there in 6 minutes or less 90.8% of the time. For structure fires, we were at 6 minutes and 30 seconds at 89.3% of the time. It's not quite what we were looking for. We're close, but we're not quite there. And for emergency medical, it's 5 minutes and 50 seconds, 91.1% of the time. So I think we're right down the pike where we want to be. But how do we look at this? And that's the question we ask after we look at the data, is what do we have to do to get that structure fire time improved? And how do you make that work? And so this table here is what we call a distribution chart, cutting down to simple terms. The first column on the left, well, back up, where you see green, that's where we're meeting the objectives. If it's red, we're not meeting the objectives. And if it's yellow, we could do better. We're meeting it, but not as well as we could. So in call processing time, our dispatch center, TRICOM, has gone from a 90th percentile for handling calls of 2.5 minutes. They've got that down to 1 minute and 9 seconds in the last year and a half. The new director out there has made significant changes in the work practices there. And this is evidence of that work she's done. Turnout time is the second column from the left, and it's all the red numbers. And it's saying we're not meeting our turnout time as well as we should. That's what it's telling us. In fact, if you look down at the very bottom of that column, you'll see percentage compliance time of day. And those four numbers are, those four hashes, that's a 12-hour period in the day. Six-hour period. So it goes from midnight to 6 a.m., 6 a.m. to noon, noon to 6 p.m., 6 p.m. to midnight. And so we're at 22% from midnight to 6 a.m. Clearly, I'd like to see that much better, improvement of that. Travel time is a function of where we are at the time of the call, the volume, traffic volume. And we have seen over the last 5 years, our travel times have gotten a little longer because the volume of traffic has increased. And we can't drive faster. We're not going to do that, so we have to drive. That's something we can't control that well, other than building more fire stations. And then the final one, our overall compliance is 93.1 0.3% of the time at 390 seconds. That's you may not be able to see it that well on this screen, but 390 seconds is 6 minutes and 30 seconds. I didn't plan that.
Yeah.
Just saying. So at 90 percentile, we're at 364 seconds. And then down below at the very bottom, you can see we're at 82, 95, 93. So the call handling time has improved a lot. Our focus now for the coming year is looking at the turnout time. That's going to be our initiative to internally to say, how can we make that better?
And Chief, turnout time in layman's terms is?
Is the time that we, once we receive the alarm, to the time the vehicle crosses the threshold en route to the call.
Okay.
So, and it's longer at night because people have to wake up, get dressed, and get on the vehicle. And that just takes longer as opposed to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, everybody's up and ready to go. So this is the type of analysis we do every year, and I wanted to just give you a quick update of where we were from a year ago. Because we had talked about this, and just I'll give you a quick thumbnail. And that's all I have.
Questions or comments for the chief?
Mayor?
Yes, sir. Alderman Brown.
Thank you, sir. It was interesting because tonight on one of the news shows, and I can't remember which one it was, they were talking about a national initiative to have the paramedics' vehicles connected directly to the emergency room. So that as the paramedics are taking, say, an EKG, it's showing up on the screen of the emergency room so that the people there can be marshaling the correct forces, the correct doctor, et cetera, even before the patient arrives at the door.
Right.
And they admitted that this is just the beginning of a nationwide initiative. Now, you're saying our trucks don't have that capability.
No, they do. The medics have back in the day, we used to do it by radio.
Right.
Now we do it by cellular connection, and it just plugged into, it was a cell phone, but now it's integral. And we actually take 12 lead EKGs and transmit them to the emergency room. They read them, and in the issues where that's a candidate for angiocatheterization, they can have that team up and ready by the time we get there.
Okay.
So they can expedite that. That's a program that started about, 2 years ago?
Okay.
Yep. So we've been working on, so we have direct connection to Del Norte, and the medics all have what we call standing protocols that they're drilled on regularly, and it gives you a step-by-step, it's like an algorithm. If the patient presents this, do that. If they does that, do this. And they follow those guides when they cannot contact the emergency room. So
we're somewhat ahead of this national initiative then.
Yeah, I think we are. We're on medical. That's medical control for us. Del Norte's emergency room.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Anyone from the audience? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Very much. We move on to item 4, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments offered by either a member of the City Council and or the audience this evening? Hearing none, seeing none, item 5 is the omnibus agenda. All items marked with an asterisk are considered to be routine business by the city and can be enacted by one motion.
So moved.
Motion by Alderman second. Marks, second by Alderman Singer. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Item 5 passes with 9 affirmative votes, no nays, and 1 absent. We jump down to item 10, municipal bills for payment. We ask our clerk to please read the bills for consideration.
Bills for payment total $396,939.77.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve and pay the bills as read. The individual invoices are available on the web in the city packet for tonight's meeting.
Second.
Alderman Brown makes the motion to pay the bills as read and on display on the city's website. Alderman Marks offers the second. Any questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino?
Aye.
Sam Hill? Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Motion passes with 9 affirmative votes, 0 nays, and 1 absent. We jump down to Committee of the Whole items of business. Item 11A. Recommend approval of request by Breakaway Events for use of city rights-of-way, street closures, and city services for Milray Cyclery Criterium on Sunday, July 8, 2012.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Kilberg. Seconded by our good Alderman, what's that name again? Oh, yeah, Cummings. I just want to direct everyone's attention to a memorandum provided by Mr. Evans, which provides some additional information based on last week's discussion. It's a two-sided document. It addresses a number of the issues that were discussed at length last week. I also corresponded earlier in the day with Alderman Hill, who asked for just a few moments at the beginning. Alderman Hill, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, I want to point out that I think that the bicycle race in the past 2 years, both my wife and I have thoroughly enjoyed it. And we enjoyed it when it was on 3rd Street. We enjoyed it when I was on 4th Street. And I was hoping that we'd go back to 4th Street. And then we heard it was not going to go back to 4th Street. And one of the local businesses on 3rd Street, the Serenity Jewelry Store, and Jamie Belandri was here last week and reported what happened to her sales during the time of the race, when all of the attention of the spectators and probably most of the people who were in the 3rd Street area, all of the attention or most of it was going to the bike race, which is understandable. And I think that she, as well as others, are concerned and have experienced downturns in sales when events like this have occurred. And there was a very interesting survey conducted by the gentleman in charge of the bike race in our packet the last 2 weeks. And I took a look at this, and they had reported that I believe 73% of the businesses that they surveyed were in favor of the bike race. And they were in favor of the bike race, apparently, on 3rd Street. And so I looked at the addresses of the businesses that they surveyed, and a good percentage of them were not on the part of 3rd Street that was going to have the bike race occur. They were mostly, a lot of them were south of Fulton, or the bike race did not go down that far. And there was some approvals, and I don't believe there were any individuals or any businesses who were not in favor of it. So I wanted to dig a little bit deeper and found out that one part of the survey was even accomplished in December of this last year. That seems a little bit early for a survey that I didn't even know if the staff was looking for a survey at that point or not. But there was a lot of those downtown retailers who were concerned about the race coming back to 3rd Street. Some of them did not realize, even if they one or two of them gave approval. They said they would support the bike race, but they found afterwards that it was changed back to 3rd Street. And a lot of these folks are having great difficulties in their retail stores with the lack of shoppers walking the sidewalks during this race, when there's so much attention going to the bike race, and it looks like they feel that most of the attention of the people who are in downtown Geneva is focused on the bike race. And here again, that's understandable. But it is hurting some retailers who face 3rd Street between James Street and Fulton. And I've not done a scientific study, but I did have the help of one retailer who contacted some of her friends and found out that some of the people who said they supported this event on 3rd Street were not, in fact, in favor of it. They thought it was coming back to 4th Street. So the figures that I developed, and it's certainly not a scientific research project on my part, is that approximately 55 retailers were contacted who exist between Fulton and James. 53% of them were in favor of the bike race on 3rd Street. 53%. That's a little bit less than 75%, as was reported earlier or last week. 23% of these retailers were opposed to it on 3rd Street, or 13 retailers. And then there were about 13 of them who were who did not have retail stores that were located on that part of 3rd Street. So even though there's a majority of retailers who are facing the street and they're located on 3rd Street, they are in favor of it. I think that's good. But I think that several others of them, and maybe more than what we know of, are being hurt by the lack of foot traffic on the sidewalks of 3rd Street in front of the stores. And people are watching the bike race instead, which is an understandable reaction. So that's all I wanted to say. I hope that if the bike race continues, that that perhaps we conduct a little bit more of a in-depth and a professional survey by an independent organization or by our city staff, which would, I'm sure, be independent, and that we get better information on the survey than we have this past year. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll answer any questions if people have them of me.
Thank you, Alderman Hill. Anyone else on the dais? Comments? Mr. Evans, is there anything you'd like to amplify with respect to your memorandum, or is it self-explanatory, which I believe it is, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would agree. It's pretty self-explanatory.
Okay.
I added the police department, their right. perspective on it.
Great. Anyone from the audience? Yes, sir. Welcome.
Hello. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Patrick Neary. I'm the owner of Wildwood Restaurant and a partner in Bien Trucha and a Toda Madre. I have some strong feelings regarding street closings in general. I think Mayor Burns will acknowledge that. A couple of telephone calls late night that probably couldn't be played back here.
I think,
and I don't want to preach to the choir here, but I will tell you that whenever you close 3rd Street, there are significant impacts to all of the merchants, retailers, restaurants. Some of them are positive, some of them are negative, but they are significant impacts. As an example, my restaurant, you know, has a private room that hosts parties. Events, 75 people plus. During the time frames when 3rd Street is closed, we are not able to use that room for private parties. We turn away private parties during Swedish days, the art festival, the Christmas walk, and we have parties booked on the Sunday of the bicycle race. People, I'd add to Mr. Hill's comments that, you know, it's not just the lack of foot traffic, it's the lack of parking. And what we find is a lot of our local residents, which are our key clientele in the restaurant business, when the parking is sparse, they stay away. And so that is an impact. So what's important to me is whatever you decide on the bicycle race, a recommendation I would have is that this group take under consideration some more strategic review of the criteria in which we should close our main streets, whether it be State or Third or whatever streets, because I think a couple of things are happening, not just the decision whether you close the street or not, but how far in advance that is communicated, how far in advance the street is closed before the event starts. As an example, the arts fair is on a Saturday morning and Sunday, but the streets close on Friday night. That damages my business significantly on Friday night. It damages my business on Saturday. It damages my business on Sunday. I love that event, and I will be a big supporter of it. I recognize there is some long-term impact of bringing people into our community. But closing the streets could be done early on the morning on Saturday, putting the vendors and the exhibitors at inconvenience and not the merchants and retailers. It could be helpful to us. So I think these are the kinds of things and some of the questions I have about the bicycle race. You know, when are we going to close the streets? When are we going to post the signs? When are we going to remove the signs? Because Mayor Burns and I have had that conversation before where the signs go out and the time that you have to be off the street is illegible. So, you know, people are not stopping and shopping even when they can because they see the sign, or they won't come into the lounge and have a drink on Friday night because the sign says the street's closing at 10 o'clock. Yet, you know, my business is to close at 12 o'clock. So I think these are things that are important, how frequently we close the stores. We pay, you know, healthy rents to have our shops and stores on 3rd Street. And we do that willingly. No one put a gun to our heads when we signed those leases. At least I don't think most of us had a gun to our head. But the point is, we didn't anticipate, at least some of us, that we were going to not be able to have business as usual. Got 4 days of Swedish Days in June. I've got the 4th of July holiday. I've got a bicycle race. I've got an art fair. I've got a concourse. I've got a Festival of the Vine. I've got a Christmas walk. I anticipate many of those, but there is a point where, you know, individual stores or shops that are impacted, you know, the frequency of that needs to be considered. So I really would, as a personal recommendation, say that I think a lot of the frustration or the trauma that the merchants will have regarding these things would be helped by having a better understanding of that and limiting the impact where we can just by, you know, a little bit better planning and coordination. And I know I'm probably taking too much time, but let me just talk about the bicycle race a little bit. Year one bicycle race, Saturday on 3rd Street, not my cup of tea. But Wildwood contributed $500 to the organization to help promote the bike race. You know, we were frustrated. The street was closed in front of Wildwood between South and Fulton, and it wasn't used. It sat empty. It wasn't used for anything. Very frustrating. The next year, moved to 4th Street. But again, I didn't contribute financially, but we contributed with putting a grill outside, having extra people come in. I walked the street during the afternoon on 4th Street and around, and I think I maybe bumped into Sam and Paul, and that was about it. So I understand that didn't meet anybody's objectives probably when it was moved to 4th. I think the concern I have now, you know, Sunday is a much better answer for me. There are other retailers that would say Saturday would be better for them because Sunday is a big day for their business. So everyone's going to look at this a little differently. But what's clear is 4 weeks ahead of time to be having this conversation does not allow the bicycle race to be successful, because it can't be promoted effectively by them or by us. 4 weeks ahead of time does not allow an open and proper discussion of the issue. This is the third year in a row that this race has been sprung on our downtown merchants. Despite what I'm saying, I'm in favor of the race, but I'm not in favor of supporting a under-promoted activity. You know, if you're going to take away $7,000 or $8,000 of private party business for me, give me something for it. Have the streets teeming full of not just bicycle racers and their families, but of local residents, of people in other communities. You know, give me the quality of people that are coming to see this event that will shop our streets and eat in our restaurants, that are not just moving from one race to the next over a series of 20 or 30 days and leaving town the moment the race is over. So I've said enough. I know there are other people here that would like to say more, but thank you for your time, and I hope you'll take into consideration some of my suggestions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Neary. Mr. Maladra, Mr. Neary, I think Mr. Maladra might have a question for you.
Actually, no, but it's taking off on something that Mr. Neary said. The subject of strategic review is one that interests me. I believe that the bike race is good for town. You indicated that there are a lot of things that we do have long-term beneficial ramifications. I was talking to Paul last week. I think that it would be in our best interests if we could figure out a way to do a study or a survey or something on race day to find out, you know, who's here, where they've been while they were in town, what shops did they visit, did they purchase anything, will they be back. You know, we take it anecdotally that this thing brings people into town. We take it anecdotally that there's good things that come from having that traffic. I think with a little bit of effort, we could move away from anecdotal evidence towards more factual evidence, and maybe with that factual evidence, we could start to get a little less churn around the discussion, and we can focus more on how do we make this thing work to everybody's best interests. I also take your comments about communication and notification. That was one of the topics that came out of the merchant meeting that we had last March, and it's something we'll be taking up again. I think that we do need to get word out a lot sooner, a lot more effectively. And then as far as promoting any of the events, I think that everybody needs to, you know this race is going to be here. What can I do to make it work for me? So those are just some thoughts that I had. I don't know if we can take anything about the strategic review of the bike race for this year. But it's important that before we do it again, we think of it in those terms, I think. Thanks.
Well, I know one thing that Mr. Neary has commented on before, and that is the closure of the street, the timing of that closure. Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I worked out a deal where I actually put the signs up that one night. And, you know, 10 o'clock is early. I agree with you. I mean, my neighbor's a frequent guest of yours, and 10 o'clock, you know, you can't make announcements in your restaurant to move your cars. That's not fair. So Paul and I will work on that certainly, and we'll make certain the council and the community is aware of that. So,
just a response to Mr. Maladra, I do think there is more than anecdotal information there, and I'm a little bit of the anomaly as an accountant for most of my adult life. But the restaurants all have statistics on the number of covers and the dollar sales. And I know for the 6 years that we've been open every day compared to the last six, and I can tell you when we had a festival, I can tell you when we had a snowstorm, and you see the impact of those things. Mm-hmm. And believe me, you know, in this economy, you scratch your head and say, why are there people not here tonight? And you try and understand that, so you start gathering information. I think equally, there are people that you know, benefit with some of these things in a different way, and they have information that says, you know, they got better foot traffic, and it may be because they're at the better place where parking's available, or they may be, you know, at the start or finish line where there's more people. And again, all of those things are there. And I, you know, the last thing I want to say is we're all in the same boat, because we're not. When you have a merchant meeting and you get people together, I think we're all of a common mind that we want to do the right things for the community, and we want to help do things for the medium and long term. But our backs are against the wall for today. We have to make the payroll next week. We have to pay the rent at the end of the month. You know, and doing things that take away your cash flow for the hope of what's going to happen in 18 months, 2 years, a lot of our merchants don't have that staying power. So, again, I think it's a matter of trying to understand the differences between the groups and finding something that will kind of smooth out some of the
right.
The balance and eliminate the unnecessary negatives.
Yeah. So. I know that the empirical evidence is there about race day. It's about the after, you know. So we attract three people from Wisconsin to downtown. Were they here last year? I think that would be a very good thing to know as they come back. And when they came back, where did they visit? Will they be back 2 weeks from race day? That sort of thing. If we're banking on faith that this has long-term benefit, I think that we ought to do some fishing to see if the benefit's there. That's all.
Alderman Kilberg, then Cummings.
Based on your analysis, which events are the most productive for your business and which are the least productive? Which one should we eliminate?
Well, you know, this is my opinion, and you're going to have Swedish days, my opinion, too long. It impacts my business too many days.
And that'd be on the top of your list to be eliminated.
And the buyers that come to Swedish days come looking for a bargain, and that's not the profile of our retail community. We are a high quality, high service community, and so the long term impact has got to be bringing the right people back. The art festival, I'm very frustrated about the timing the street gets closed. My colleagues who are merchants that sell artwork don't enjoy it all, you know, having the competition. That doesn't help their businesses that day or even in the near term, because it takes money out of people's wallets that might have come to their shop. Not a great business day because the tents are on the street and they can't see the shops and people are walking down the street. But I think it does bring, you know, people with some degree of wealth and spending power, and that those are the people that we want in our community. So I enjoy that opportunity to you know, get out of my restaurant and talk to people in the streets and encourage them to come back when they can get around a little more. The concourse event, for me, it's a Sunday. They put the cars out and back. I have a Sunday brunch business. It's wonderful for that. People sit out and walk the streets. You know, they'll watch the cars for a while, look at them, and do something. It's a good event. Equally said, Sunday brunch isn't really where I make my money. You know, that's $15 a person instead of $50. So. You know, it's nice, but it doesn't really make my day or weekend. The Festival of the Vine creates a great ambience in the community. I think, you know, we are a wine drinking, you know, eating public. I don't know that it helps the upper end restaurants per se, because the activities on State Street don't really lend themselves to what we're doing. But again, it's a good festival. I like it. It brings people to the community. After they've gone to State Street, if they want another glass of wine or they want a little different kind of glass of wine, they'll come see us. The Christmas Walk, fantastic. Families out, people coming out, good Christmas spirit. You know, it works well. Again, I wouldn't close the street from my shop, because why do we need streets for people to walk in? You know, and we have some streets closed that, again, people could park their cars, or the businesses could appear to be more open than they are. But I think it's great. So on balance, you know, I'm I'm very impressed. One of the reasons, I'm a St. Charles resident. My businesses are all in Geneva. And part of it is because of the community and the festivals and what we have. It's just, I think what we need to do is just not sit back and say it's been good and it's going to be good for the future. It's to do a professional job of getting feedback and then making some modifications at the margins that will take us to the next level. And I enjoy bringing new things in. I didn't mention the Geneva Film Festival. You know, I'm a big believer that someday the Geneva Film Festival is going to be a huge community activity for us. And I've put personal money and restaurant money into that activity. We're a long way from being there. But we're not closing any streets. We're not spending a lot of money. I think, you know, it's creating some attention. And so I think there's always room to bring in new things, too. It's just the street closing thing for me is the one that we need to get some balance in. And I should sit down because I know there's at least a couple other people back here that have different and important opinions. So thank you.
Alderman Cummings.
Patrick, I had one before you sit down. One idea, one question. Do you think it would help if you were to, or if the city or if some group were to advertise that there is parking, especially when you're losing the private party business, advertise that there's parking behind the Caribou in that lot. There's also parking in the train station in the parking deck available to people, especially on a Sunday. And then second, perhaps in the future, and this is more for the council also, perhaps rather than the bike group coming and saying, we would like to be there July 8th, we approach them and say, I'll tell you what's open for July for 2013. This slot's available, and we need to know by January. And if you don't give us a yes or no, the slot's gone, and then maybe that helps the merchants.
The parking, I think that's always important to say where the parking is. I think we need just then make sure the parking is there. There are a lot of employees on 3rd Street, and when we have these events, there are even more employees. And I'm not sure where they're parking. They don't park, at least mine don't park on 3rd Street. They're not allowed to, or the side streets. But, you know, as they go to move further from the restaurant and park, you know, during those periods, there are a lot of, or let's say there are other shoppers, there are other employees that are filling up those lots fairly quickly. Paul would know better than I do because I know he, you know, spent some time and attention on that before. But wherever the parking is, I think signage and advertising of that is important. I laugh. I was with my wife today, and we were out at the Commons because she's a manager of a store there. And we were going to get a cup of coffee, and there were three cars fighting for the one spot that was right in front of the coffee shop. And yet there were eight spots right behind that. And unfortunately, I think as a culture, you know, if people can't park right next door, you know, I'll have people tell me all the time, my St. Charles guests, if they come down 3rd Street and they see it's closed, guess what? They go to Naperville or they go back to St. Charles. They say, well, just come around to the other side, you know, South Street, you can park. Well, it's just going to be inconvenient. You know, and when we faced this same event with the race last year, I had a bridal shower or whatever, and you know, we talked to the Chaudines, who are my landlord, and, you know, they would have allowed us to let the people park below the building. But when I talked to the guests and said, you know, we're going to be having a little more activity on the street than you'd like, but we'll make provisions for the parking below, they said they really didn't want to have that inconvenience, which was really a convenience. So, again, I just think as we process these things, we need to, sometimes what seems logical to us isn't what the public is, how they process things these days. I'll just say it that way. All right.
Anyone else in the audience? Mr. Burnham, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Steve Burnham, paper merchant. Each and every one of these festivals we have is the way it works in this town. Some are good, some are not good. But I think the thing that we do poorly is that we don't play to our crowd. I mean, we are a host city, and we bring thousands of people in for each and every event. I don't make money off of it. Other retailers don't make money off of it. Who makes money off of it? You cannot serve the same bratwurst that you did at Swedish Days for the bicycle race. Ask Joseph how that went last year. You cannot just serve water and pop each every summer event that's held. You've got to cater your event to your local restaurants, and you've got to have a plan to make things come out and make Geneva in its best light. But we're not playing to the crowd, period. We just sit and put the same water on the street. We put the same diet pop on the street. And it leaves a lot of people pretty empty, because that's what it is. It's not a well-planned, organized event. None of them are as well as they should be. And you've got to take advantage of the restaurants that you've got in town. Somebody's got to make money off these people. You can't just invite them in as a host and say, you come in for free for today. You come in for all the entertainment on Swedish Days. I said, you've got to set it up so you can earn something off of it. And it's not being done. As far as I'm concerned, it's never been done like it should be. So that's it for me. Thank you.
Questions? Mr. Hill?
Yes, Steve, yes. Thank you for speaking up. And I understand what you're saying, I believe, but how do you think we could do better, a better job of planning? Where could we do that? Can we do that at the Chamber of Commerce? Do we do that in combination with the City Department of Economic Development and the Chamber? Because we only have, what, two people in the Economic Development Department. They don't have the time to be able to do.
I've only got one of mine.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Well, how do you think we could, where could we get this done? About the four aldermen who we created this listening meeting in March, I think it was, and we're still trying to listen, and we're still trying to accomplish some things.
Well, I think
we have limited time and abilities also. Do you envision any
way we can do that? Yeah, but Sam, we're talking cumulatively over years.
Okay.
And you have to start somewhere, and right. Nothing's been started.
Okay.
And you've got to take it step by step. I don't have the answers, but okay. The answers are in the town. There are enough good restaurants. Why can't you serve a Long Island lemonade or something like that for the car festival, for the concourse, instead of here, have a dollar bottle of water. Oh, neat place. Got to come back here. Doesn't work. We're not merchants. The city is not a merchant.
And legally, it probably should not necessarily be a merchant, but we ought to be able to do better merchandising.
That's correct.
The Long Island lemonade or iced tea would have to come from some restaurant or bar that would be available
and
to have a license.
And you can pick a foundation for it to go to.
Yeah, but you'd have
like
to have a license.
You make an event. You charge $5 for a big right. tumbler, even though we're not in New York City.
Sure.
You can charge $5 for that, and at least somebody can walk away with something in their pocket.
Interesting. Thank you, sir.
Anybody else?
Alderman Vogelsberg?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And this is for you and Patrick, because this is a lot of good points. I mean, I think we do need that long-range vision and what you said, how we can make it a win-win for everyone. I think as somebody who plans events, of course you want to do downtown Geneva because it's such a great place. But there's a cost, and we need to think of everyone. And what you're saying, I think that leap night, the yeah. cool winter's night, to me, that embodied everything you're talking about, because it was the 29th of February. So, like Persimmon Tree, they had a whole room, or Pass Basket, excuse me. I see Jane. And, Pass Basket had a whole room of everything for $29. That was cool, leap year. We went to Wildwood. There was all this, you know, at the shops of 127, there were free makeup, and there was all this stuff, but it kind of all centered around this 29. And that was such a successful event.
Well,
interestingly
done.
Enough, the city had nothing to do with it. It was the merchants, Cocoon and Odalisque headed it up. But it's exactly that, because everybody who participated tried to make it a theme, and it was something totally different that you could not get any other
right.
time.
Yeah,
and it was
well
great success. So I think the ideas are out there.
Yeah, they just, like any idea, they have to be implemented.
Mm-hmm.
And where does that start? I'm not sure. But I said, we've been at it for a long time, and I don't see enough progress, especially in these kind of times. We're all worried.
But well, one thing I've heard from a lot of merchants, just shopping, is that they don't want the city to be in charge of all these. They want the city to stay out of it and let them be run and thought of and manned by the people who know what will work, what will help the business.
Well, I think most people are believers of less government is better
yes.
government, period. Let's face it. Sorry, Kevin.
So I think what Patrick said is we need to just, as a council, think about the long range of if we need deadlines for events and when we can. I mean, there's usually practical reasons the streets close at a certain time, so we can work on that.
Good. Anyone else? Thank you.
I'm sitting here thinking of bike jewelry, fat tire beer, bike pretzels.
You had me a fat tire beer. That was good, fat tire beer. That was good.
Mrs. Briner.
Yes. I'm Jane Briner from Shops at 127, formerly Persimmon Tree. And I spoke the other night and wasn't planning on doing it tonight. And I wanted to say that I believe that you have been presented by the promoters with inaccurate information. The committee last week voted on this bike race with inaccurate information. I was the one that did the calling on Sunday to as many businesses in town that as I could reach, because it was a Sunday. And to clarify, if they really did say yes to having 3rd Street shut down from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., since I was listed as a supporter and I was not, and had they been given, been told it was being returned to 3rd Street. The answers that I got from about 8 to 10 shops was that then that's who I could get a hold of. I left messages and whatever the case is. They assumed the race would remain like last year, which meant 4th to 7th. Once they learned the change to 3rd Street, they all said they would not support the race due to the experience of the 2 years ago when we all suffered somewhere between 50 and a 75% loss in sales on that first Saturday of the bike race. As you know, I had been put down as a yes, and I had never been contacted by the promoters. One of the people that I called said that they never did get a physical visit. They got a sort of a strange survey call and wanted to know if they'd be in favor of the bike race. And but they, in turn, who was in favor of the bike race, and as a biker said, I now put my vote to a no because I thought it was going to be on 4th and 7th. So anyhow, so I learned from Gene Gaines a long time ago that there are different kinds of promotions for people. Some will be good for you, some will not be good for you. It's what you make of it. I do agree with that on a lot of things. Your creativity has got to come forth from every individual business in this town with these promotions. It is very difficult when the street is blocked to do anything to get people to come into your door. It just doesn't work. And the crowds of quoting 10,000 people last year coming to town for this race just doesn't happen. And so I really believe your point of saying we need to maybe have, you must get in your request for a promotion at this particular time might be good, which then would allow a group of merchants to be informed and begin to plan. I feel like the last 3 years has like been, oh, there's a bike race in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and what are we going to do? You know, and the first time we embraced it immensely and realized just how bad it hurt us. So I also know, as Patrick said, I learned from the Methodist Church that when you in a small downtown and you have blocks, people count blocks. So if they have to walk two or three blocks distance in a mall, they don't think anything of it. But if they have to walk two or three blocks in town, when they can count the blocks, they get ticked, okay? And it's just the human nature is what it is. So, and I do have one question, and I don't know, I have never been given this answer. I know that supposedly the city of Geneva does not give any dollars to this bike race. I also know it's a for-profit organization. And I want to know who pays for the police and the electricity and whatever it takes to do this thing. So sometime I would like an answer on that. And I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mrs. Brenner. We can provide that answer to you right now if you'd like.
Okay.
Mr. Evans, do you want me to? Or?
Each year, we ask the sponsor or promoter to provide the city with assurances that it will provide all the police and fire. The biggest expense that the city has is probably my time in helping help coordinate the event itself. But other than that, we directly charge the promoters for any police or fire time that we've had, and so they that's one of the things that is paid for. I'm not sure electricity, they have their own generators, so unless somebody's giving it to them, you know, or they're paying somebody, they're providing their own electricity too. So there isn't really, to my knowledge, a direct charge that the city of Geneva is paying for this. They're paying that. Other, obviously the indirect is whether it's a plus or a minus for the businesses.
Anything from anyone else in the audience? Ellen?
Good evening, everyone. I want to address a couple of the comments brought up, not necessarily directed to the bike race, but more of a larger global look at some of the policy issues that this whole conversation is bringing into play. I will make one comment first on the bike race, however. We started contacting them last fall, asking them to submit their special event application. And at that point, they asked us if they could move it to 3rd Street again, and we told them only on Sunday based on what dialogue had happened at the merchant meetings. And I will say they were very difficult in terms of getting something back, to the point where we sent them a letter and said it will be here by date certain or you will not run a race in Geneva. So this last-minute-ness has not been for lack of trying on our part to get them, and we've got an email trail going back to last fall. That said, it's not Paul's job to run the event. The department has stepped out of the event management production arena because of the competition it created with the chamber and because of the voicing of the business community that there were just too many things going on, and for a greater reason. Because I believe that our most important thing we can be doing right now is recruiting industrial development and working in our TIF districts. And when I got here in 2008, 80% of the time of the department was going to downtown development, yet it's only 20% of our revenue stream. We will never abandon downtown because it is who we are. It's our image. It's what makes Geneva, Geneva. But there's a more foundational question of bringing in office workers that will shop at the restaurants and bringing an industrial tax base that will take the tax burden off of the homeowners. And that's where we've been continually trying to spread our energies more in that area, given the Southeast Master Plan, TIF work, the Fabian utilization area of the county, those type of activities. So that said, the bigger policy question here is street closures. And Patrick Neary has very well articulated concerns at the Economic Development Commission. He and Paul Ruby both represent the downtown property and business owners on the EDC, and they are a concern for some. And the master plan is going to call for creation of an urban mall, where a portion of 3rd Street would have bollards that would come up and the street could be closed. So if we don't think we want that done, we should be talking about that now. Batavia is doing it on River right now. They've closed north of, is it Wilson or Main Street, for the block where Denny Hassert's office had been, and they're looking at creating a convertible mall. So if you want to see what one looks like, you're going to have a real good example real quick. But that's where the master plan has been going, because of the recognition early on by the Citizens Committee overseeing the plan that there is a lack of civic space. And that lack of civic space has been what's led to the request for closing 3rd Street.
What do you mean by, I'm sorry. What is civic space? Sorry.
Well, just open.
What we want to make certain we don't do tonight is veer off the topic at hand. Because
okay.
We could be here till
yes.
Next Tuesday.
I just wondered what that meant.
But,
Ellen, I think
your underscoring point is, yeah, we all darn well better be involved in the first public presentation of the comprehensive downtown plan. Otherwise, mm-hmm, none of us have an excuse to complain, yeah, about what transpires. And that plan is being unveiled for the first time for public comment later this month at the Public Works facility.
Right.
So it should be a standing room only.
June 26th, yeah, I
believe
so it
is. After the event, after the festival.
Woodstock Square, Elgin built a whole civic plaza.
The week after
the casino. Swedish
Days.
So areas where people can congregate, and it's just open park or space for events to be held. In terms of intercept surveys, the city spent, I think it was $6,000 in 2006, and the plan was to redo those intercept surveys every 3 years. Well, the next three-year cycle was 2009, and it was cut for budget. So it does take time, and it's recommended that you have someone trained in doing these. Otherwise, people self-select who they talk to. And unless you have a trained surveyor.
Well, yeah, I think I understand that. I just, mm-hmm, I just think that we are making decisions about this bike race and we don't have any idea what our facts are.
Well, we do have the own merchants' testimony of the days that they did have.
About that day.
Well, and we know that some people had good days. You know,
right.
Bob Untide was here. So it's
right.
that not every festival is good for everybody. And this is my next point. This is the challenge of downtown. It's built on mixed use. It's built on mixed customers. It's built on mixed reactions to certain events. And that's what your job is to weigh it all when you get a request to use the public right away. And that's what you're doing this evening. In terms of parking, we also had in the budget last year to make more signage to get people to the deck and stuff. Again, something that went by the wayside because our police department does use cardboard signs that they buy from a commercial printing company. We haven't invested the money to put in Welcome to Geneva signs. That got cut too, let alone downtown parking, you know, permanent signage. I will compliment Patrick Neary, the Wildwood employees are some of the only ones that I'm aware who direct their employees to park in the Metro lot. If you're going to have a full day in town, your employees should be off the street, and I applaud those employers that steer their people that way. And that's my comment. Okay.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you.
Very good.
Anyone else, any comments pertaining to the proposed cycling event on July 8, 2012? We have a motion. We have a second.
I wish to make an amendment, Mr. Mayor, that the cycling event to be conducted on Sunday, the whatever that date is.
8th?
Can't pull it out. Yes, 8th. Be relocated the westerly side to 7th Street and the easterly north-south side to 4th Street.
There's a motion on the table to relocate the cycling event currently recommended for 3rd Street at the start and finish line to move that start and finish line to 7th Street. It is the opinion of the chair that motion dies for the lack of a second. We have a motion, main motion back on the table as presented. Any additional comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Bill Santino?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Nay.
Gene Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
The motion passes with 8 affirmative votes, one nay vote, and one absent. We move on to new business, ladies and gentlemen. Any new business from any member of the audience this evening? From the dais. If nothing, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Good God. Motion by Dantino, seconded by Marks. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Great. Mics are off. Thank you.